no one, after lighting a lamp, puts it under the bushel basket, but on the lampstand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. This is another favorite passage of mine. The idea that we would light the lamp, then hide it, then cover it up, then not set it up to give light to all in the house is absurd. It borders on ridiculous. It's an exercise in futility, and yet it's what a lot of us do, at least metaphorically speaking. We have a message. We have a burning conviction deep down inside. We have a faith that has changed our lives, the lives of those who came before us, the lives of our contemporaries. We have a witness. We have good news to share, a life of faith and love to live, works of justice and mercy to do, services of love and acceptance and affirmation to perform, and yet we keep it quiet. We keep silent. We hide it. We're almost like we're afraid of being caught doing it or saying it or sharing it. We keep it clandestine, unseen, almost unknown. It would be like Alice, right back over here, gifted with an artist's soul, producing great works of art, paintings and sculptures and woodwork, other incredible works of beauty, and she shares them and displays them and shows them and sells them for the enjoyment of others. But what if she never did that? What if Alice never painted a painting or carved a wood figure? And what if she did so, but then kept it secret? We would all be greatly impoverished. It would be like Ben Campney, graced with an eye for photographic art, taking pictures that go beyond the ordinary, that convey a powerful message, a meaningful story, a unique perspective. I can point my phone and take a picture, but Ben points his camera and conveys a message, captures beauty, and makes a statement. What if he never clicked his shutter or pointed his camera? What if he did but never shared the pictures, never posted them, never displayed them, like they are right now down in the activity center, or posted them online for people to see, for people to be touched and for them to learn by, to see a new perspective on life? The quilters, they create amazing works of art that bring comfort and healing and a reminder of God's love and presence in tangible forms that you can wrap around yourself and cuddle up in. What if they never shared their skills? What if they never quilted together to create comforting art to be shared with those for whom we are praying? Those in need of a touch and a reminder of God's very present reality. How about our choir? What if they refused to sing and just sat silent in their pews? What about my husband, Cade, who's an incredible singer, blessed with a voice that I can only dream of, and the ability to play music? What if he never shared his music, kept it a secret, never performed? never gifted us with the talents? What about those who work so hard to feed the hungry, to care for medical needs, to help the migrant find legal services, to make a safe place for those who have been marginalized, excluded by society, pushed out? What if we all kept quiet, hidden, unshared, unknown? How would any of us be able to receive God's grace? How would any of this, the amazing gifts of God, ever happen if we weren't willing to be open and a part, members of and participating in God's amazing grace? How would it happen? It wouldn't. We have a message to share, a gift to give, a light, the light, to shine, a song to sing, good works to perform, art to create, songs to write and share. And our membership vows, the promises which we make when we join the church, call us to share them all. We promise to support the church through our prayers, our presence, our gifts, our service, and our witness. These are promises that we make to support. They're also means of grace by which we are fed and through which we feed and support others. So often when we talk about the means of grace, Methodists focus upon how we, the community of faith, or individual Christians, are spiritually nourished. The means of grace are the conduits, the ways and means by which God's grace, God's love and favor are conveyed to us. However, it's just as important for us to recognize that the means of grace are the ways in which we also become conduits of God's grace for others. They are the ways in which we become means of grace for a broken and hurting world. In each of our membership promises, we dedicate ourselves to a spiritual way of existence, an existence that is informed by, empowered by, exemplified by God's presence within us, by being part of something that is greater than us. In prayer for others, we recognize that our intent and our concern is directed outward toward the needs and concerns of others. Yes, we should pray for ourselves, but the promises we make and the means of grace that we are exercising through prayer is most perfectly directed otherward, outward, toward the needs and the concerns and the objectives of others. We begin with prayer, but we don't end there. We then promise to be present, to be active, to serve the church through our presence. And part of that presence is involvement in the life of the church, in the lives of others, in the works of the church, in the ministries of the church, in the mission of the church. That takes being present. Yes, virtual presence is presence, but so is physical presence. So is involvement in many different ways. So is the building up of community together. It's not just about being in this room for worship on Sunday mornings, although it certainly is that. It's being part of and helping to form and build and grow and transform our shared community together. So many today are hungering and thirsting for belonging, for joint participation, for community. And that is one of the things the church can provide, a spiritual realm of belonging and community, where we are part of something greater than ourselves, A community that reaches beyond what we can see and experience here today, the here and now, to the edges of the world and beyond. And tomorrow and next month and next year and next century and forever. That's what presence is all about. We promise to be present, to partake of the means of grace, and to be God's means of grace for others. Gifts. Yes, giving money to keep the lights on is critical to what we do here. We have a budget to support and salaries to pay, a physical building to keep in good repair and insured. But the financial support goes well beyond those needs to the ministries and missions of the church, the people that are helped in their times of need, the comfort that is given, the minds that are enlightened, the souls that are healed, the bodies that are fed, the children that are cared for, the civil and human rights that are affirmed, the lights that are shined and not hid under the bushel basket. Gifts make that possible. Financial gifts help to make that happen. And there are even more amazing gifts than those. Talents and time, good works, participation in doing together is indeed a gift. Some get antsy when we talk about financial giving, as if money is the only gift that we talk about, but that's never been the case. Giving is a means of grace for the giver and for those who receive the blessing that the gift brings. Last week, we talked about service. The opportunity to serve is a gift, empowered by presence, directed by prayer. When we offer our service to the church and the world, we are sharing the tangible experience of grace. With service, we begin to see a bit more clearly how all of these promises work together, are part of the same whole, are all means of grace functioning as one. And it is to this whole, of the whole, for the whole message of the gospel that we are witnesses, our promise to be witnesses, witness to God's love in Jesus, shines from our words and deeds, and we cannot keep that hidden. We can't hide it under the bushel basket. The danger of trying to hide the light under the bushel basket is what? It'll go out. Put a candle cover under a cover, put a cover over a candle, and what happens to it? The flame consumes what little oxygen is left, and then it flickers and dies out. If we try to cover up the flame, the light, the surging power of God's love, of God's grace, of God's presence with us, it will eventually flicker and die out. We dare not let that happen. We light the fire of God's love to bring light to the world, to shine God's love for all, to proclaim the good news of Christ, trying to hide it, trying to cover it up, trying to keep it concealed so that others won't see it for fear they may not like it. Well, that's a sin. There, I said it. The S word. That's a sin. To try to stifle the good news of the love of God in Jesus Christ is a sin. To withhold the news is a sin. To not share the good news is a sin. To refuse to serve is a sin. To not give of ourselves is, yes, a sin. To not be present and participate in the life of the community of faith is, yes, a sin. To not be in prayer, active prayer, quiet prayer, loud prayer, meaningful prayer, life-transforming prayer, prayer that connects us to God and to others is, yes, I'm going to say it, a sin. And the answer to these sins, as is true in any children's sermon, the answer to these sins is Jesus is partaking of the means of grace, of Jesus' love, is praying and being present and giving and serving and witnessing to the love of God for us and for others. As we come toward the end of Lent, as we will gather with the crowds next Sunday on Palm Sunday and proclaim, Hosanna! Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest, let us be about exercising our promises, these means of grace, by praying and being present and giving and serving and witnessing to the gift of God's love for us all. Let's not hide it. Let's live it. Let's not keep it a secret. Let's celebrate it. We have an amazing message to proclaim and to live. A message that has changed hearts and minds and souls for nearly 2,000 years. A message that has changed us. Let us witness to it. Serve others through it. Give it to others. Be present within it and ourselves for others. And make our lives an act of prayer within it for all. May these promises that we make form means of grace for us. And may the promises that we make call us to share the promise of God's love and God's presence with all. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And may God's people say, in your